And a very good afternoon to you. It's 12:07. You're tuned to Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. With me after a leave of absence, it's Susan Burns. Susan, welcome back to the program.
I'm delighted to be back. I was one of those who caught that flu bug that's out there. Ooh. And so if you're one of those people sitting on the couch listening to the radio because that's all you can do,
we hope there are other reasons. But
you have my sympathies and my get well wishes. But delighted to be back, Sean. And we have a couple guests today that I think are going to bring a lot of really good, useful information about housing.
Absolutely. Round about once a month these days, our friends from Financial Hope in Fort Wayne join us to talk about a myriad of topics. Today we'll be talking a little more in depth about housing, and we want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking about reverse mortgages. Susan, we're going to start, though, with foreclosure prevention.
We are. And I'll just introduce our guests. Joyce Wogan, if I got your name right, Joyce,
yes,
is going to be our reverse mortgage expert. And she'll join in as Pam Gresham tells us a little bit about the refinancing situation and foreclosure prevention and the hardest hit fund.
And welcome to both of you. Thanks so much for being on the program today.
Well, thank you for having us.
That was stereo. I like that.
It was in unison. Yeah.
Pam, let's start with you. And can you give us an idea of what the foreclosure scene looks like in our area right now? Obviously, we've come out of a really terrible economic period, still recovering, in fact.
Right.
Are we any better off today than we were, say, 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, I think we are getting better, but there's still some stats out there that are kind of scary. You know, currently there are like 1,868 families either in pre-foreclosure or pending suit in Allen County zip codes, and over 3,500 families either in pre-foreclosure or pending suits in our service areas, and over 29,800 families in foreclosure in 2012. But it is coming back around. We are seeing a little bit of a slowdown with it, but you know, there's just different waves of it at this point. You know, some people say it's because a lot of the foreclosures were being held back by the investor or the lenders, mm-hmm, because of the problems that were going on with the robo signing and stuff like
right.
that.
Right, we had robo signing, right, and courts were just
right.
swamped.
They were holding
with these
up the
cases.
Foreclosures because they wanted to make sure that everything was proper and that property really needed to be in foreclosure. So that was a little bit, and now I think we might see another rash with the slowdown of that, and then that being released, and then, you know, we're going to be faced with that. So
you're saying that we could see potentially more foreclosures in the next year or two, just because banks are starting to catch up, folks are starting to catch
possible.
Up in the process.
It is very possible that could happen. You know, because of what had happened in the past with the robo signing and stuff. So it's hard to predict. You know, and the different types of loans that are still out there, the creative financing. I know we talked a little bit before, you know, with the interest-only loans.
Sure.
And
well,
stuff.
Talk a little more about what you mean by creative financing.
Well,
I think we've heard a lot about this, I think, in the last few years, given...
Yeah, we
given
have. All. Well, I'm just talking about anything that's not a fixed-rate mortgage. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be an adjustable-rate mortgage. There could be combinations of the interest-only, adjustable rates. I mean, years ago, they got really creative, and had they known what was going to happen in today's world, I don't know that they should have been so creative. But it is affecting people now because, you know, they got into a lot of these loans with the song and dance that, oh, yeah, down the road you could refinance. Well, you know, a lot of incomes did not increase. A lot of people lost their jobs, and they couldn't really refinance anymore. They didn't qualify. So a lot of people found themselves in some real trouble here.
And in certain cases with the NINA loans or Ninja loans, they've been called. I mean,
right,
folks may not have had an income at all in the first place.
Really, or it really wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Right.
When they started looking at it, you know, you had somebody working at Wendy's making $50,000, and, you know, they were just taking orders. It's a lot of that happened, and that's sad. It's sad for the homeowner, you know, that... Then again, they should have known too. So,
right.
You know, but
let's talk a little bit about because I think a lot of folks, when they get into some financial trouble, maybe they've lost their job or their income isn't as high as it needs to be, they are not sure when, in fact, they are in trouble, or maybe when they need to start seeking help from, say, folks from financial help,
right.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How can a person recognize when maybe it's time to look for additional resources, look for additional help when it comes to their mortgage, to their home?
Well, I think what people need to do, everybody needs to have a budget. You need to know what you got coming in, what you got going out. And the house should be the number one priority. Always make sure that you've got to cover that, your utilities that kind of go along with it. You know, don't think about, I can, you know, go out there and buy a new car. And you need to have some resources. So when things like that happen, you know, that you have enough money to fall back on. We all like to have that 6-month reserve, but that doesn't always happen for everybody. You know, that if they do lose their job or something, they have something to fall back on, because they don't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are just living paycheck to paycheck.
Sure.
So the thing is, you know what, we're spending your money, you know your budget. And if you see that there is problems, think about maybe getting a part-time job. If that's not feasible, then you need to, and if it's going to be a short-term, it depends on short-term, long-term problem that you're having, then, you know, communicate with your mortgage lender. You know, don't ignore them. Don't just think, oh, you know, there's a miracle around the corner, because there probably isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be very careful. You communicate. See if there's anything that possibly they can help you with in the beginning, like maybe lower a payment for you, know, like by taking the interest rate down or something, to help fit into what your financial situation looks like now. So, and that's a lot of problem. People don't do that. They wait until it's too late.
Right.
You know, until they're so far behind and they don't communicate and they get pushed into the foreclosure arena. And when they do that, then not only do they have to pay for their mortgage payment, then they got foreclosure fees too on top of it. So it just gets more expensive for them. So I guess the biggest thing is to react immediately on it. Find out what you need to do. Don't wait until you're backed into a corner.
As soon as you see trouble in your financial, you, in your
right.
financial
you
future.
Need to react to it right away. Right. You know, be proactive. Try to figure out what it is you're going to need to do in order to continue to make those payments, and especially those that really mean, you know, something. In a house payment should be number one priority, as I said earlier. So
we're talking today about what to do if you're running into some financial trouble, particularly with your home, with your mortgage. Joyce Wogan and Pam Gresham from Financial Hope mm-hmm. Counseling and Education are here today, and we're ready to take your calls, your questions, your comments. 260-452-1185. Toll free, of course, at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. So before we, there are a number of resources, are resources available for folks who are in this situation. Tell us a little bit about, I think we mentioned it on the last Financial Hope Show, Susan, the Indiana's Hardest Hit Fund. What exactly is it?
Well, what that is, it was money that was given to the state of Indiana, to help people who are unemployed. And there was, I'm going to get you, $221 million actually was given to help unemployed homeowners. And this is handled through the state. And what they do is they then there is an application that you go online and fill out. And then what they do then is send out your referral to agencies within your area so that you can get with a specialist and then try to figure out whether or not you qualify. And basically, you need to be unemployed and getting unemployment insurance. You know, a lot of people get confused and think, well, you know, I'm just not working, so I'm unemployed. Well, yes, that's true. But with this program, you have to have unemployment insurance backing you up. And what happens is you'll work with your counselor, fill out the application. There's 7 steps that you have to fill online. Fill that out. Then there's additional information that is gathered, normally bank statements, tax forms, and it's all out there on the application to explain to you what you would need. And then all of that stuff is then, once it's gathered, it's sent by the consular to the state level, and the state underwriters then review everything and see whether or not they qualify. And if they do, then there's actual closing. And what this is a non-interest bearing loan, and you don't really have to pay it back. It's forgivable, but there are strings attached, just as anything else. You know, when it seems to be too good to be true, you got to look, you know, well, deep into it.
What kind of strings?
Well, what the strings are with this one is basically is you, if you sell the house, move from it within 10 years, you will pay back all the money that they gave you. And it's up to $18,000 or 18 months, whichever comes first. And once you get reemployed, they'll even go 3 months into the reemployment just to make sure that you're still stable to be able to make up for it. But again, if you don't stay in the home for 10 years, then you'll pay it back now within the first 5 years. Now, year 6 through 10, they do prorate it by 20%. So you won't have to pay us back as much. So that's the one thing when you think about this program. If it's something that you can commit to your home for the next 10 years, then yes, absolutely do it. You know, if you can't, you know, maybe, but if you got some money laying around somewhere, if you had to pay it back, you could, that's fine. As time goes on, we don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. But it's certainly something, if you do qualify for the program, to look into it and, you know, see if you can get that help. It's there.
So part of the purpose of the Hardest Hit Fund, it sounds like, is to kind of stabilize the neighborhood.
Right,
keep
absolutely.
People in their houses.
Right, keep them in their homes and, like you say, stabilize the neighborhood and to help those, because it's not easy to find a job in today's market. So it's hard. So, and that's what this is designed for, is to help that person who is unemployed be able to maintain that home. And all payments are made for them, up to $2,000 per month. So, you know, so.
Pretty good.
Up to 18 months.
We're talking today with Pam Gresham and Joyce Wogan, and we want to hear from you this hour, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can send us a tweet @middaymatters. And I know when we talk about money, Susan, these can be sensitive issues. So if you give us a call and want to remain anonymous today, we can certainly
just let
offer
us
that.
Know. Yep. We'll you'll be caller or emailer, because part of the nice thing about these shows on the second Tuesdays is that we've got some experts here who can really provide some one-on-one information. So take a chance to call us and find out more. And I had a question for Pam, Sean. You said you have to be unemployed. Mm-hmm. As we've been in this for quite a while now, and some people, there's that limit on how long you can be unemployed. Is that affecting how many people can come see you about this program?
You know what? It may, because I think it was just this year they changed that, the 26 weeks. It used to be people could get up to 18 months. I mean, they could do extensions. So I'm not real sure how this is going to impact the program. I'm sure there's probably going to be some changes to it, because after 26 weeks, I'm just not sure how they're going to handle it. But we'll find out. You know, we're constantly training, and, you know, they're always they're tweaking it every now and then. And it's always, you know, for the benefit of the homeowner, too. Because things like this do change. So, yes, that is a question right now. But and we hope to have answers for that probably within the next week or two.
So let's say someone comes who isn't on unemployment, mm-hmm. but they also don't have any income anymore. And they're in trouble because they didn't go see their bank right away. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things can you do for them?
Well, what we do is we'll work with them. If there's no money coming in, because the biggest thing in order to get help, the mortgage lenders want to see stability. That's a big word, stability. If they don't see it, how can they really help them? Yeah. You know, they're going to come to them saying, I don't have any money, but what can you do? Well, the mortgage lenders still, you know, they do have hearts, believe it or not. I know some homeowners probably think they don't, but they do. But they're limited as to what they can do, too. They're just a servicer. You know, there are investors that back them up, and those investors do set guidelines and procedures that they have to follow. And they really can't step outside of them, you know. So they do. There's a lot of things. There's different programs that they put you through. Some call it the waterfall effect. You know, they go start here, and then they, for number 10, go down to number one, whatever. But they do. They look at every which way to try to save that home. You know, they really don't want the people out in the street, because that's just another house that's going back. Okay. Well, they don't want it. So they do try everything they can, but they can only go so far. And again, if somebody who is not bringing any income in, it would be tough for them. I mean, the reality. Yes, it would be. So,
we do need to take a quick break here. In the meantime, we hope you'll get on the phones or get to your computer. It's 260-452-1185. Facebook page is up, as is our Twitter account. And if you want to email us, it's middaymatters@nipr.fm. Stay with us, back in 2 minutes.
A hypothetical patient, let's call her Marilyn, has breast cancer that spread to her lungs and spine. The chemo causes nausea, she's in pain, she can't sleep. Traditional drugs don't really work to treat her symptoms. Should her doctor prescribe marijuana? I'm Neil Cunnan, Physicians Debate, offering patients pot. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Been in the kitchen too long? Then it's time to toss a salad of styles, forms, tastes, and timbres. I'm Bob Mayer. I create the salads every Tuesday from 7 to 9 here on 89.1 WBOI. Join in the Jazz Food Fest.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne, August 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum online at indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC, local financial advisors who help people just like you. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com.
It's 12:25. This is Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, back after a long, well, week-long absence anyway.
Yeah, seems long.
seems long. And we're talking today with our friends from Financial Hope, Joyce Wogan and Pam Gresham, about what to do if you see a trouble in your financial future, what to do keep staying in your home. And a little bit later in the program, we'll also talk about reverse mortgages. We want you to get in touch with us with your questions or comments this hour, 260-452-1185, or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters.
And we were just talking with Pam about the hardest hit fund in Indiana, and sounds like a really useful program. How's it actually going right here in Northeast Indiana?
Well, I think it's going very well here. There's been a lot of marketing out of the Indianapolis area where they are trying to get the word out. I think that's the biggest thing, is trying to get the word out to people and let them know that it is available. And if you are unemployed, you have a home, you know, please, you know, contact them. Because you do have to go through the application, and then what happens is, and then they refer to the different agencies. There's four different agencies within our area in Fort Wayne. So we really don't know who, or even if you come into our office, we can help you go online. And, you know, if you wanted to be with our agency, then we could make the the correct contacts and say this person is going to fill an application, please make sure that their application comes to us.
So financial help is one place to start.
Right. Well, yeah, and absolutely. You know, we can put them through that. But the sooner they do it, the better off they are, too. If they, you know that they're going to be unemployed, or they find themselves in an unemployment situation and that they have applied for it, and they know they're getting it, then that's the time to act. You know, don't wait until the very last minute until it runs out. And then there could be some problems where they wouldn't be able to qualify. So, again, it's just reacting. You know, right away, jump on it.
And Sean, over the break, as we were talking about this, Joyce made a comment about that waiting too long, and share it with our listeners, Joyce.
Well, I believe that so many people are optimistic and feel that they'll be able to get jobs in the near future, so they really don't jump out there and look into programs that may help them. And then suddenly the time has gone by, the unemployment is running out, and they still don't have a job. And then they start looking for programs, and sometimes it's too late then. So better to look early and, you know, come up with a lot of programs that will help you rather than just wait until it's too late.
Gather those resources before your ship gets too far out on the River Denial, right?
Right, right, right.
Well, and that seems like a significant problem, not just when we're talking about about mortgages, about our homes, but anything in finances. We're not open enough with each other sometimes, and definitely not with ourselves in terms of financial realities.
That's very true. People do want to keep their private affairs private, but also it's a question of pride, I think, a lot of times. You know, no one wants to admit that they're struggling, and they can get into trouble that way. We all have our pride, but sometimes we just need to swallow it.
And if we keep that pride too long, it can lead, have some upsetting consequences.
Right.
We're talking today about foreclosure prevention, and a little bit later we'll talk about reverse mortgages on this edition of Midday Matters. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please do give us a call, 260-452-1185. Nobody currently in the phone bank, so you'll get right through. And of course, we can offer you an anonymity today.
Easy
for me to say. That's right. And we know this can be a sensitive matter. Or you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's @MiddayMatters.
It is. And we have Pam Gresham and Joyce Wogan. And so we've got the hardest hit fund. Pam, are there other things financial help can do for people realizing that they're not really making their mortgage payments? Let's say, can you help people get ready to go make that first visit to their banker?
Absolutely. If they don't qualify for the hardest hit funds, there are other programs out there that we as counselors can also assist them with. the thing is, you know, we can assist. We obviously can't modify. We can't bring them current or anything in our office, but we can certainly be there with them, going through the paperwork and it is a ton of paperwork sometimes that the lenders will require. And that's okay, because we know what to do. We know how to help them. We know how to get them to where they need, because they need to get that information into the lender so the lender can look everything over and then decide whether or not there is any help for them. And again, like Joyce said earlier, the quicker you do that, the better off you are. Don't wait until you're 2-3 years behind on mortgage payments and then decide that you need some help, because by that time it's probably going to be very difficult. So react to it right away, because that's what the lenders like. And then also be very timely in what you do. If they have given you paperwork to fill out, there's usually a date that they want it back, and they won't babysit you, they won't hold your hand, because they have a lot of people out there. So the thing is, you get it, you comply with all the timelines, get it back to them, follow up. And that's another big thing, is that homeowners sometimes do not follow up. They'll send the paperwork out, weeks will go by, and, you know, gosh, I haven't heard from anybody. And then they'll start calling and they'll find out the paperwork never reached them. Or if it did, it went into the black hole. So now you got to start all over again. So the thing is, when you send stuff, make sure you do a follow up, make sure they have everything they need. If not, you'll gather it again. And sometimes you will have to do it over and over again. And that's a lot of complaints I here too, is, well, my gosh, I just, you know, sent that to them. Well, sometimes they want updated information. So the thing is, they're in the driver's seat. You just have to comply. So,
and you know, Sean, looking into Pam's nice eyes here, I have a feeling you're a good one to practice your what you're going to say to the banker and kind of help them with
absolutely.
That side of things.
We do, because sometimes when they come in, I actually will make calls when they're in my office, and we'll be on a speakerphone, and we will be talking, because sometimes they just don't know. They're scared. They don't know what to do. And with my background in servicing for 35 years, working for Waterfield Mortgage, I've been there, done that, know what it's all about. So I can talk to them, you know, and I can... You know, they can't put me off, let's put it that way, because I kind of know as much as they do with some of it. So, and I think that that's a relief to the homeowner, too, because they really just don't know how to approach it.
We've touched on it a bit, but for folks who might be hearing this program today, thinking about applying for the hardest hit fund, how long does the whole process typically take?
Well, they say 2 to 6 weeks. Again, it just depends on how quickly... we can get the information because you start off and we're gathering information to begin with that we are then submitting off to the state. And then everyone that we've done so far, the state has come back and asked for additional information, which, you know, that after they've looked at the bank statements and, you know, they do have other questions. And so sometimes then we have to go back to the homeowner again and say, okay, we need additional information. And as quickly as you can get it to us, then the quicker, you know, that you can get your hopefully approval. So it's all in the timing and how quickly they can get their stuff to us. And you know, we react right away, too. Once we hear back from the underwriters, we know that we've got to get with that homeowner to let them know that there's additional information, because we don't want to waste time either. So once we give that to them, then the ball's in their park again. You know, it's like, you know, get it to us as quickly as possible so that we can get those approvals for them.
And typically when folks are pursuing this, what types of paperwork does the state ask for? Banks, is it bank statements? Is it
absolutely. Credits, they want 2 months worth of bank statements. They want your tax forms. They want proof of your income. There's a list. I mean, that could be just the start. And then once they get the information to them, they're going to ask for other stuff. It just depends on what they're seeing. Another thing is a hardship letter, too. And that's one of the big things. We want to know what happened. Now, obviously, you lost your job, you know, and maybe the career that you're in is just something that's really going to take you a little bit more time if you want to stay in that field. So they're big on hardship letters, want to know how you got here, what happened. And sometimes homeowners really, well, you know, they'll say, well, I lost my job. Well, we need a little bit more than that. You know, yes, you lost your job, but how is it affecting you? You know, what's going on? We know that obviously financially it's affecting you, but you and your family too. So, you know, some people, they have to try to maybe to go out there and try to get food stamps. There's a lot of resources for people sometimes, depending. And so we talked to them about that too. You know, while you're doing this, go out into the community and find these other resources that you might qualify for.
We want to hear, I want to remind our listeners that we want to hear their stories today, along with your questions or comments. If you've maybe had some experience with this, how did the process go? Or if you're considering it, if you have any questions for our professionals on the air today, 260-452-1185 or toll free 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Nobody currently in the phone bank, so you'll get right through. And if you'd like us like to not use your name on the program today, we can just tell our phone screener we can offer you that as well. We do need to take a quick break here for the news. We'll talk more when we return. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
The clothing chain Zara flashes through trends faster than the seasons and faster than the high-end department stores.
They see what the celebrities and so on are wearing and put it in their windows very fast.
Putting it on the rack, taking it to the bank. Spain's fast fashion empire, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOY News. Education reform rocks was the message of the day at the State House Monday as students, teachers, parents, and lawmakers renewed the call for strengthening school choice. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
Students representing schools from around the state took part in the Ed Reform Rocks rally Monday, celebrating Indiana's recent education initiatives, including expanded charter schools and the statewide voucher program. But Governor Mike Pence says there's still a lot of work to do, citing 12% of Hoosier students who failed to graduate last year and more than 200,000 who attend schools receiving a D or F school grade.
On behalf of all the children of Indiana, we are going to continue to demand more and to improve our schools until great schools are the norm for every community of our state.
For their part, Democrats say the GOP is pushing the wrong kinds of ideas. Austin Representative Terry Gooden says after the election of State Superintendent Glenda Ritz, Republicans pledged to slow down on the sweeping education changes of the last few years. And he says that's not what's happening this session.
If the majority party here continues to rub people's noses in this, you know what happens? They really get rebellious. And we don't want to see that. We want things to be smooth, and we definitely don't want to use our kids as a science project.
The House GOP passed legislation earlier this session expanding the state's voucher program. That bill currently sits in the Senate Education Committee. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Parkview Health plans to spend $5 million to renovate a building that will be used by the Fort Wayne Veteran Affairs Medical Center as an outpatient mental health clinic. Officials announced Monday the one-story, 25,000-square-foot outpatient clinic is expected to open in 2015. The VA will contribute about $1.5 million in design and construction costs and pay yearly rent of $1.3 million to Parkview for 20 years. The funding was authorized by Congress in 2011. The VA Medical Center in Fort Wayne treated more than 3,200 military veterans for mental health problems during the most recent fiscal year. The facility is expected to have about 100 staff and administrators. A bill that's making its way through Indiana's General Assembly would change the laws governing need-based state financial aid and add new requirements for students to fulfill. Two grant programs would see new stipulations for credit hours that a student must successfully complete to remain eligible. The Journal Gazette reported that those enrolled in the 21st Century Scholars Program would drop down to the Frank O'Bannon Grant if they complete fewer than 30 credit hours a year. O'Bannon Grant recipients who complete fewer than 24 credit hours a year could lose their scholarship. The 21st Century Scholars Program provides full tuition and fees at public universities. The O'Bannon Grant provides a maximum scholarship of about $3,900 a year. Both are need-based programs with income requirements. And Ball State University and Muncie police have not found anyone fitting the description of a gunman reported near the school's library. Ball State spokeswoman Joan Todd says police searched the campus and the surrounding area for 2 hours Monday. She says it's possible the student who reported the gunman was mistaken. Ball State students were alerted via text message to find a safe place soon after the gunman was reported. The university issued an all-clear at about 9:20 a.m. Todd says the university followed standard protocol and that students are instructed during freshman orientation about what emergency alert instructions mean. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters.
Till 1 o'clock. It's Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. This is the Financial Focus edition of our program. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm Sean Beter along with Susan Burns, and we're talking with our friends from Financial Hope, Joyce Wogan and Pam Gresham. We've been talking so far this hour about Indiana's hardest hit fund along with some basic foreclosure prevention techniques. And we're going to pivot in just a few moments to chat a little more about reverse mortgages. And we want you to get on the line with us today. If you have a question or comment, maybe you want to tell your story, 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And we've had a very patient caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Ernest. Ernest, you're on Midday Matters. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Sean. Well, I heard one of your panelists say on the segment that work and get lost or go into the black hole. I'm not sure what that's all about, but it seems to me the obvious precaution that a person should take if they're dealing with a bank or a mortgage company is just to make copies of everything you've done, hardship letter, even the bills that you've had to furnish. Make copy of everything, put it in a folder. If you've got a computer, keep it on there so that when it does get lost and you have to repeat it all over again, the repetition just amounts to making a copy of what you've backed up.
And Pam Gresham, we've certainly heard a lot of stories from banks saying they've lost paperwork or they never got paperwork. This goes back to kind of the old accountant's adage, save your receipts, everything.
Absolutely. The homeowner, when they send that paperwork, needs to make copies of it, you know, because if it does get lost or what happens, then they can back it up again. And then sometimes, again, they need updated stuff too. But yes, absolutely, make a copy of everything that you do when you send it to them. And even when you call them, you want to make sure that you write down the name of the person that you talk to, and even ask them for an agent number, because you're never going to talk to the same person twice. You know, unless they assign you some kind of an agent or a negotiator or something, but chances are you won't. And I know a lot of people get frustrated because of that. So again, when you're calling, make sure you know who you're talking to. You know, write it down, get yourself a log of some sort, get an agent number, whatever, so that if you ever have to defend yourself in any way, you have the information to do so. And do take copies of everything that you send to the home, to the mortgage companies. Yes.
Good advice and a very good call, Ernest. We appreciate it. We'd like more folks to get in touch with us. It's 260-452-1185. If you have a question, comment, or maybe you want to share your story. Daniel emailed us. Daniel says, I have a basic question. How have views of the role of home ownership in the American dream changed from the post-World War II boom through today? I understand in a mortgage that the bank lends you the money to live in a home. You pay back the bank over time to obtain the title to the house. But do I understand it correctly that the reverse mortgage has you handing the bank the title in return for cash for equity in the home? What does the reverse mortgage mean in the sense of the American dream? And that's, Daniel, a perfect pivot statement for the next part of our program. Joyce Wogan, what exactly is a reverse mortgage?
Well, a reverse mortgage is primarily the same thing as a traditional, except for the fact that you have to be a senior citizen to get a reverse mortgage. You have to be 62. But you do not turn over the title to the property. You remain the owner of it. And with that, you have the usual rights of home ownership. You can still sell the home if you change your mind. And at that time, the reverse mortgage would be paid off. So I believe that the reverse mortgage actually helps people with the American dream. They've worked many years probably to pay off, if not the entire mortgage, at least a good portion of it. And it's probably a home they love, and they have a lot of memories there, and they want to stay. And that's what the reverse mortgage really helps people to do, to stay in the home they want to.
And how is we know now you have to be 62 or over.
Right.
What are some other characteristics that might make you someone who might want to consider that reverse mortgage approach?
Okay. Well, a lot of seniors, if they're on a fixed income and financially strapped, and they're still paying on a mortgage, the reverse mortgage can pay off the existing mortgage so that they can eliminate that payment, and then they'll have more of their income available to live on, which, you know, really helps a lot of people. Now, if they have a lot of credit card debt or something like that, that might be another story. they need to really look at their budget, which is true whether it's foreclosure prevention or reverse mortgages. People need to know their budget. Because with a reverse mortgage, you need to look forward, because even if you get it today and it puts you on good footing financially, you have to think 10 years from now, can I still pay my property taxes? Can I still keep the home insured and maintained? Because those are requirements. And if you can't do those, they could foreclose. But other than that, you do not have to have a certain credit rating. So you can have bad credit and get a reverse mortgage, which is really what helps a lot of people.
But no matter your decision, it's good not to just jump into something like this. I mean, this is definitely, you need to chat with a counselor and
oh, definitely.
Take a deep survey of your circumstance.
Right. Well, that is why HUD actually requires counseling for reverse mortgages before they can apply, which I know a lot of people think, why do I have to do this? I haven't even applied. But it really helps you to think about the process before you jump into the application. And they do have it set up so that, I mean, you could go through the whole application process, the counseling, the appraisal, and if it's a day of closing and you change your mind, you can still walk away. And actually, even if it's a refinance, even 3 days after the closing. So you're not locked into it.
So, and would this be something if you have a second mortgage too, that you've added to your home at some point? Is that a way to address that?
Well, they would require that any existing mortgages be paid off out of the reverse mortgage in that way, because they want the first lien, because they want to make sure that they get paid.
Sure.
I want to interrupt here and just remind our listeners, you're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus, and we want you to get in touch with us today. We're talking with Joyce Wogan and Pam Gresham from Financial Hope. The number, 260-452-1185, or toll-free at 800-471-9264. We have a number of folks who've joined us either via email or on the phone, so I want to open up the phones if we can and take a few questions and comments. Let's go to Jan on line one. Jan, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hi. First time calling in.
Great.
We're glad to have you.
And my comment was that both myself and a friend of mine, we both recently had problems when trying to refinance houses. My friend found out that his mortgage had been rebundled and resold to other banks 10 times in the years since he last refinanced his house. And somewhere in there, they lost his deed. And they also sold his mortgage to two different banks at the same time. The banks are in a mess. You do have to keep your records. And it's for me, when I was going through stuff, it was important for me to be able to send and resend information, so I just made copies, kept it in a file, and went ahead and resent it. In our case, we had a short sale on our house, which if that happens to people, two things you need to be aware of. One is that the IRS, whatever amount you've been forgiven, the IRS can hold that as income for you, and you'll have to pay tax on it. And then the other thing is that when that gets reported, in our case, our mortgage was with Wells Fargo. Or no, not Wells Fargo, it was with Chase. And Chase misreported it as a foreclosure and not as a short sale.
Oh, my.
And so we were able to clear that up with two of the three reporting companies, but one of them would not change it because Chase was unable to furnish them with information. And the reason why was because Chase didn't have any information about us whatsoever left in their files. And this was only 5 years ago. So the banks are in a mess. And people need to know that.
I'm sorry about that, Jen. Let me put this to our panel briefly, and thanks so much for the call, and best of luck as well. This is one of the many horror stories, Pam Gresham, that we've heard over especially the past 3, 4, 5 years, and it's not unusual for banks to sell mortgages or bundles of mortgages to other companies multiple times. Creates a very confusing and sometimes unfortunate situation.
Right, it does, but the homeowner does get notified when there's a transfer of servicing, and yes, she's right, it can be transferred over and over again. But usually you'll get a letter from who you're currently with and then the person you're going to. Because you want to make sure those are legit, too. Because you don't want anybody out there saying, okay, now you're going to be sold here. Your payments are going to go to a post office box number. So you got to be really careful of that. You know, you want to make sure that you're getting correspondence from both sides. Sometimes they'll do a merged letter with both of them saying a welcome, goodbye type letter, or you'll get them separate. So you do want to make sure that that is actually happening, and it does happen. As far as, where you're going to end up, you just really don't know. I mean, it doesn't change the terms of your documents. And those documents they need to be followed with whoever it's going to. And unfortunately, maybe some of those don't get lost. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a lot of it happening. But again, being a homeowner, you need to be vigilant, just like she was, keeping track of things, make copies of stuff, so that if you need to jump in and save the day, you have it.
And be really alert.
Absolutely.
Because I've heard of cases where the bank will send a letter and they kind of obscure the identities mm-hmm. of the bank just for whatever reasons they have in terms of identity theft. Mm-hmm. And
right, because there is a lot of scams out there for people. And I had a gentleman just last week that he was trying to be scammed on the Making Home Affordable program. And somebody, had paperwork looked just like it did from the government. And he unfortunately did not send the money, but he did provide all of the paperwork with his personal information. Mm. And he was very upset, which I don't blame him. And then when he confronted the person he was dealing with, they just hung up on him because they knew, he had gotten them.
And Jan, we appreciate the call once again, and best of luck. Let's take another caller here. We're in the last 7 minutes of our program. We have, who do we have? We have Sonia on the line. Sonia, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to know how you can get rid of the PMI on your loan from a Freddie or Fannie loan. They seem to have some stringent restrictions.
And let's put that to the panel again. First of all, PMI, can we define our terms here? Pam.
Okay, PMI is private mortgage insurance. And what that is default insurance, basically. It doesn't protect you as the homeowner, but it does protect the lender. Because what it says is if you do go into foreclosure, then it's going to be guaranteed that that loan is going to be paid off to the servicer. And then it's going to go to whoever the PMI company is. Now, as far as there is a certain percentage that you get to, and it's automatically dropped, but the best thing is to talk to the lender to see why it can't be taken down, because it was on there for a purpose. There wasn't enough down payment. And again, it is default insurance and insurance to them. But I would say if she hasn't already talked to the lender, to call them and see if it's possible if that can be waived from their payments.
Sonia, best of luck, and thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or toll-free at 800-471-9264. Just about 5 minutes left in the program here. Still have time to take maybe one more caller in under the wire. And we had an email here from Anita. Anita says, my brother is planning to purchase a new house this spring, but unfortunately his credit is not the greatest. He's saved quite a bit of cash for the down payment, but he and his wife are not the greatest at managing their money. Do you have any advice for him to avoid trouble in the future or tips on purchasing a new home in this situation? Joyce or Pam, any advice for Anita?
Well, if the credit's not there, I guess it doesn't matter how much money, unless you have enough money to buy the house, outright free in cash, because the credit scores do mean a lot. Usually, and it depends on the type of loan. I think the government loans, FHA loans, maybe are in the 640, 660, somewhere in there. They do change. I mean, but
you need a credit score,
right?
Score of
the scores, right? But you know, if you're in the 700s, because that's where they want you today, is to see you, because they just don't want this tragedy to happen again like 10 years down the road. But scores do mean, they do mean something. So again, you know, checking with your lending institution. If you do have some bad stuff out there, try to clean it up. You know, it takes a while to get the scores down. It's going to take a while to get them back up again. And that's just being, you know, sensible about using credit and stuff. So,
well, they may also want to wait a while until they get that credit score up a bit, because it also affects the credit or the interest rate that they're charged by the bank. So having a low credit score will mean that they're going to pay a higher interest rate than someone else with a lower score or a higher score.
We have just about 3 minutes left in the show here, and we started to talk, Joyce, about reverse mortgages. But let's get back to the topic with the time we have left here. We left off talking about what they are. Tell us a little bit more about, you were talking over the break about how a lot of people have told you that these are scams, and you certainly do have to be careful, but reverse mortgages themselves are not.
Right. Reverse mortgages are a good product, and they're most of them are insured by the government, which is part of what makes the fees a little bit higher, because they have something similar to PMI built into the reverse mortgage. But that's what guarantees that the lender will get paid off, and therefore they're willing to make the loans. But I've seen them, I've had clients tell me many times that it has really made a difference in their life. You know, when you get to be elderly, you don't want to necessarily move from a home you've lived in for 40 years and raised your children in, and maybe all of your neighbors are good friends now, so they want to stay there. And I've had people tell me it makes the difference between whether they eat or not. And the way I look at it, and the American dream that the other caller mentioned, you work for maybe 40 years to pay off this house, and that's your dream. And as Americans, we dream of the day when we get our mortgage paid off. But then I look at it that when you're a senior, let the house pay you back to some degree. You know, as long as you can look forward and say, I can pay my taxes and insurance and keep the home maintained, you know, maybe 10, 20 years down the line, why shouldn't they take some of the equity out so that they can have a decent standard of living, some quality of life?
We have an email here, just in the waning moments of the program. Jack says, when we reached the 20% level of payments into our mortgage, the mortgage company did not automatically drop the coverage. We had to call and insist to have it dropped. And Pam Gresham, that's one of these good points. You know, stay up on what your company is doing and what you need to be doing interacting with them.
Right. Now, they should have been tracking that. I don't know, there may have been some changes over the years. You know, to that procedure, I'm not sure. But yes, you know, keep tracking it. And again, it's going to depend on making your payments too. That you made your payments on time and you don't have a bad payment record history. So there's more to it than just, you know, the 20% and, you know, the year's gone by. So, but definitely if you have a question, call the lender, talk to their customer assistance divisions, and they can help you with it.
We have to say goodbye for now. Joyce Wogan, Pam Gresham from Financial Hope here in Fort Wayne, thank you both so much for being with us on Midday Matters today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Susan Burns, thanks to you as well. Thanks to our listeners for listening and for calling in. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI Fort Wayne. Fresh Air with your local host, Katie Anderson, is up next. Stay with us. It's 1 o'clock.